The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stunkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin. Who's got a mouthful of biscuits?
Hello.
Hello. How many biscuits have you got in your chops at this time?
Just one.
Two.
I've got a little tea to wash it down. Carry on.
She looks like a little chipmunk at the moment. Her little cheeks are all puffed up with biscuit.
I know, and I have to save it for later.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to tell you about this while she's chomping on biscuits.
Yeah.
It's a summer celebration with a Caribbean twist.
Ooh.
And the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce are delighted to be holding our 2023 Summer Soiree in the Walled Garden at Riverhill, a truly spectacular place in which to network. And you can come dressed as Caribbean as you like. It's happening on June the 22nd. So that's we're the 20th today. It's Thursday, yeah? 6 to 8 p.m. The ticket price includes delicious canapes and bowls, a Caribbean rum punch, welcome drink and rum sampling. And there will be music provided by the Shireen Francis Small Island Trio. If you want to find out more, go to the Seven Oaks Chamber of Commerce website.
That sounds lovely, doesn't it? Small Island Trio.
Yeah. You can go. You can also go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar and find out about it there and find a link to book your tickets.
Very good. There's a Kent Women in Business thingy. Yeah.
It's a brunch, darling. It's a brunch.
Oh, a summer event, in fact, and it's with inspirational speakers, networking, and delicious brunch.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just for women, or is it for anyone?
Well, there's a clue in the title.
Oh, yeah, Kent Women in Business. But you normally rock up to that sort of thing, don't you? Sort of.
No.
You do. You no. Often. I've often seen you schmoozing Kent Women in Business. It's the fabulous Sue Hainsby and Deb Turner and all the brilliant Kent Women in Business. I expect that maybe Lisa Settle will go.
Mm-hmm.
She often goes for those sort of things.
She's not going.
How do you know?
Because I saw her tweet yesterday saying that she's saying she can't get there.
What's she up to?
I think she's away at the time.
A lot of people are away at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got speakers Debbie Kemp from the University of Kent.
Mm.
And Julie Bartlett, who's an award-winning women's wellness practitioner. We love a wellness practitioner on this show. And it's at Bradburn House, which is in East Malling.
Well done. She said Malling correctly. She's never done that before.
To me,
it's normally Malling.
To me, that should have a W in it. M-A-W would be more. But anyway, I bow to your knowledge. And East Malling is, the sat nav is M for Mother, E for Egbert, 19, 6, D for Deirdre, and Z for Zebra. And it's on June the 29th at 9:30 to 12:30. And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. Do you know my two cleaners? It's so funny. They're so lovely, Aaron and Jack. And they asked me to send the link to this show.
Right.
So they can listen.
Right.
I said, you really are going to, it's really not your cup of tea at all. And they said, send me the link. So what do? Send them the link?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know whether they'll ever respect me again and clean my little house.
Mention them, that's the way.
I just have.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. They're lovely. They're very sweet. Mm. Yeah, Jack is lovely especially, but I do love Aaron as well.
Right. See that you just messed that up, didn't you? You went, Jack's nice, but Aaron's all right as well.
Yeah, no, they're both lovely. It depends, really, because sometimes they come with other people, and you know they're both lovely.
All of them.
Yeah.
And the other people.
Sometimes they come with ladies.
And the other people lovely as well.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Ladies.
Lots of lovely people.
Yeah.
They all come.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's great because they have an hourly rate, but because there's two of them, they're only there for an hour.
Right.
I love it. But so, the only thing with cleaners is, you know this, you have to prep before they clean.
You have to clean before they clean. Of course you do.
You have to. No, because otherwise they can't clean if all your gubbins is there.
Yeah.
So what I've done is...
Just to put all the undies in the laundry basket first.
No, what I do is I've got, like, on my new husband's bathroom, I put all his gubbins on shelves, a little tray, so they can move the tray, wipe underneath, because I like a wet wipe. I don't like all sprays and things. I like them to, you know... warm water or a bit of white vinegar or whatever, witchy stuff. So everything's on little trays so they can move it all. But the kitchen is the worst thing because you've always got stuff drying on the draining board in my house. There's always stuff drying. Yeah. So I have to clear all that before they come. My new husband doesn't understand why.
Well, I'm not very good at doing that.
Really? No. Well, you and I would be incompatible in a marriage.
See, my poor cleaners come in and...
They have to move it all.
They have to move all the paperwork.
But then you're paying them to do that, you see, and I've only got 2 hours and
okay,
it's quite...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think you should need to get a little tray. Get trays.
Get trays to move it all in.
And then they just go back. And they don't have to actually move because your paperwork is, you know, you've got it in a little pile. You know exactly what's there, don't you?
No.
What's your star sign?
Pisces.
Oh, well, that explains it. That's February, isn't it? Or January?
March.
But you're on the end of February to March, I think.
12th of March, so I'm in the middle.
Yeah. Maybe that explains your paperwork issue.
Yeah. Yeah, I could never go paperless. I love paperwork.
I've gone wild on because my greyhound was chewing my shoes when she was up. She's a rescue, so she was chewing shoes every time the new husband went off windsurfing. She decided to chew all my shoes. One pair arrived on Friday. I wore them on Friday. They were £140, and she chewed them on Sunday because he went out for the day.
Oh.
Well, why do you keep leaving your shoes where the dog is?
The dog is everywhere, and they were by the front door where I took them off sweetly because my cleaners had been. I'd take them off, put my own sheets in.
Put them away where the dog can't
get
them.
Well, I now have. So now I've done a whole cupboard in my hall of my shoes, and I've
What you need is a tray.
Yeah.
With your shoes on.
Yeah.
And then you can wipe underneath and put the tray up so the dog can't see.
Exactly. Well, I've gone wild on these little see-through little boxes, and all my shoes are all perked up in them. It's lovely. Very nice. How long will it stay like that, though?
Not long.
And I did lavender bags. If you invite me around for drinkies at your house, I'll bring you some of my lavender bags from my garden that I've made up like a little... Like a what you call me, a witch. So, like, I've got lavender bags. I've got them in my shoes. And my new husband's got them in his wardrobe. So he takes his T-shirts out and all these lavender bags. And he goes, what are these? Lavender bags. I could sell them, couldn't I, at the market?
You could, yeah.
Mark it up.
Possibly.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
They smell lovely.
Good. All right. Do you know what? I think I want to talk to Sally.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
I'm not making it much more sense.
Yeah.
Not that.
Yeah. Right. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome. Surprisingly, I don't know why I've been so remiss, because I've only just met Sam, but I've known Sally a long time, and I've not had her on the show before, which is really bad of me.
It is, because I did say I've been a wannabe for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I finally got round to letting you on, Sally.
Thank you.
Which... is remiss of me, but we'll put that right now. So, Sally Brady, welcome to the show. Sally runs Sally Brady Business Planning. She's recently written a book. Is this your first book?
This is my first book, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And we're going to talk about the book in a minute.
Yeah.
But first of all, we want to know about Sally.
Right.
Yeah. This is the interesting bit, folks. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what we went through at Actress Live, wasn't it? Mm. My daughter threw me under the bus. I've had the usual big corporate career, 30 odd years as an accountant, a bit like yourself, Sam.
She only looks 10.
Yeah.
She fitted that in.
A lot of Botox.
Yeah, well, she worked for a corporate. They use child labour over there, don't they?
Did you hear what she just said?
No.
Marine collagen.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Not another.
I'm having my coffee too. Yeah.
Not another fish skin.
It's
oh,
so
dear.
Good. You put a little spoon and you stir it while the coffee's hot and you will not taste it.
You don't have the smell then either.
No, it's no smell. No. Not with a good one anyway. No.
Right, okay.
I'll send you a link.
Right, back to where I am. Yeah, no, as I said, big corporate career. The last company I worked for, which I am going to call out, is Bell UK, Baby Bell Cheese. Worked there.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Hit burnout with them.
Right, here's a technical question. Rind or no rind? Do you eat the rind or not?
No, it's wax.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the amount of people I know that eat the rind.
Really?
Yeah.
They must be a bit bunged up.
Yeah.
No, that's not good.
Who eats the rind?
Yeah, lots of people eat the rind.
Really?
Yeah.
Rind.
Right. Yeah.
Sort of wrong.
So, Baby Bell, okay. Cool.
Yeah, I worked quite hard for them at burnout. Maybe 2018.
Right.
And a lot of people said to me over the years, you know, do your own thing, work for your, you know, set up your own business, you, you know, you're good at this. And I used to say, no, I hate personal tax, I'm not doing personal tax. It was always about personal tax, do my tax return. No, I don't want to do it. And after sort of hitting burnout, I didn't go into personal tax. But what I did notice is that working for a big corporate, big teams, always got big teams around you. So the guy at the top doesn't have to know about financials, doesn't have to know about planning, cash flow management, anything. So I decided that was a good way to go. So hence Solly Brady Limited was born.
So let's just come back to the burnout. So just tell us what happened.
It was just a lot of pressure.
Long hours?
Long, very, very long hours.
Have you got a family?
Yep, I've got a daughter. She's 22 now, so she would.
But you were balancing, juggling.
Yeah. I had done for years. I was a single mum. I'm not going to bang that drum, but I was, you know, we were on our own quite a long time, so I was balancing that.
Yeah.
And it was just such long hours and so much pressure because it's all about profit. And, you know, if the profit's not there or it's not being, it's how do you generate it, what we're doing wrong. So it was a lot of pressure. And they said when I hit what I did was 48 hours of no sleep. I'd literally just been working and working and working because
48 hours.
Yeah, I hadn't slept, and I literally had a little run down the M20, and decided to close my eyes. I've had enough.
No.
Yeah. So that was
Sally. That's awful.
But I said, George just threw me under the bus about it. An event the other week. So I'm
kind of wondering where the HR was.
Do you know what? She was as burnt out as I was. And she, not long after I left, she left too. So, and hence the reason I wanted to set up on my own. I didn't want those constraints. I didn't want to work like that anymore. And I don't want anybody else to work like that either.
No, it's horrendous.
Yeah, it is not good.
It's one of those funny things in big corporate life, isn't it? As you go up the food chain in big corporates, it happens more and more and more because the pressures, it isn't just about doing your job, it's about playing the corporate game, isn't it? And it's about the politics and the meetings and everything else. You know, I'm very similar. I had a corporate career, but a long, long time ago now. But I was the very senior manager at Goldman Sachs Investment Bank, and you can imagine what the environment like is like there in a trading company.
Yeah, toxic, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, very few people last past their 35th birthday. You know, they just don't. You just don't. You just can't keep up with it. So I got a lot of empathy for, you know, how you felt.
I noticed with my two of my kids were working from home on Friday because of Father's Day, so they came and worked from our house. And you know, I cook for them, obviously, because they're working, which they wouldn't get if they were in an office. But they didn't take a lunch hour, you know, and it's wrong, isn't it? So they're like gobbling their lunch and then straight back on phone and, you know.
Lunch hours don't happen anymore. They're not a thing anymore.
No, unless you're in France and then it's a
And then it's a lunch day.
Yeah. Spain is 6 hours. But it's wrong, isn't it? Because then I'm saying to them, you know, you need to be aware of what you're eating, eat mindfully. But they're literally wolfing it down and back on the phone. And you can see that in the evening, they're still on their phones. So even if you're watching a film or they're still on their phones.
It's that pressure as well, because I know for myself, my boss was a workaholic. He was literally, and he used to say, I don't expect you to answer, but you know when you have that expectation that actually that's not what he's saying. And that's the regime I lived under was, you know, 24/7.
And you're obviously an achiever. And so when you get someone that's diligent and achiever and you've got a workaholic at the top, it feeds down.
It does, totally,
It's one of the big problems of modern technology as well, which everybody keeps telling me is a productivity aid, but I don't believe it.
No.
It's not. It's a drain. One of the biggest drawbacks to productivity is digital technology. Because there's no getting away from it. And people can come at you at every, you know, if it's not on email, it's on WhatsApp. If it's not on WhatsApp, it's a DM, you know, direct message on Twitter or Facebook or something.
LinkedIn,
And people come at you from all kinds of angles, at all kinds of times, and they go, don't expect you to answer this now, but, this now.
Georgia and our daughter and I were having this conversation the other day, because she obviously works in the business with me, and we said that we love the fact that we have so many bank holidays in the UK, but we don't have enough, because why we work together and have our own businesses, but so we can create the rules. So we've created our own bank holidays. So we have one a month now, so we actually get the downtime together.
You know, it's funny, though, because my new husband has his own business that I run with him, and I'm trying to have Fridays off at the moment. but he has been speech writing for one of our clients, and it always comes in like late Thursday morning. Yeah. He's supposed to have Friday off, and he's been like this. So when I'm having the day off, I find it impossible because he's working. Mm-hmm. So I can hear, even if I, this morning I'm having my smoothie, should be 5 minutes of just looking out the window, I can hear him tap, 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 tap next to me having his smoothie. So you don't relax because your home is now essentially, our lounge is an office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though we've got an office upstairs, he prefers to be in the lounge looking at the sea. So it's very
You need a co-working space, that's what you need.
I do, I know. In Tenterden.
Or Canterbury, or Sheerness, or wherever. So, Sally, you went through this period in your life where, you know, you got to that low point, yeah? Mm. You decided to launch your own business. So just talk us through the thought patterns that went with that, what you decided to do and how you did it.
Yeah, well, initially I did a coaching qualification as well.
Oh, what?
A coaching qualification.
Oh, right, okay. I'll
get used to my accent.
Yeah.
So I wanted to understand people, and I thought with what I'd been through, I wanted that experience. Mm. But I realised I don't like people that much. I don't work with them like that.
Yeah.
So, but I obviously knew that accountancy and business planning is my forte. So.
You're a data person.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it. Stick the spreadsheet in front of me and you'll lose me forever.
Yeah.
I knew what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to work with small to medium sized, you know, businesses.
Mm.
I knew it was going to take me at least a year before I could earn any money.
Right.
So I literally had to plan every day. So initially, before we started, Jodra and I had a big long holiday. We've never had a holiday together where I didn't work. So that was that. So I could then start the business, and that's what I did.
Right.
And I literally mapped it out. We did all the networking. Initially, Georgia was still at university, so she wasn't working with me. But Kent Chamber was fantastic. Kaz Macklin, got to give her a shout out. She's been amazing.
Right.
She supported me from day one. I did a lot of networking, met some fabulous people, and just started to build relationships and did everything organically because you know, I knew that it was, as you say, it's about referral, it's about getting it right, it's about getting your product right.
Yeah.
And one of the first companies I worked with was CDDL in Sheerness, and Tony there was great. We put a whole business plan together for him. I know he still lives to it today, which is brilliant. And just started from there, the work I did, slowly, to now it's absolutely mental.
You're going to burn out again, aren't you?
Yeah. There's four of us in the business now, so it's a bit easier.
Right. So give us a feel for... I know you're kind of coaching and consulting and helping people, but give us a feel for the kind of things that you do and the kind of the basis of the business, you know, what it is that you look at with your clients.
Yeah. And essential tips. Yeah. For big bunker listeners,
because they're
nearly all. it's like greatest hits radio, isn't it? You have to be very careful. Essential tips.
Essential tips. Okay, right, okay.
Because nearly all of them are SMEs, Alice,
I think one of the things I see a lot is, especially since COVID, is I always say if half the people during or prior to COVID had managed their cash flow, they would have got through it.
Mm.
I saw so many businesses crash because they didn't manage cash. They don't, you know, that what I call bank account checkers.
Yeah.
So they look at the bank account, looks okay, but then obviously things come in, things happen, next day all that money's gone.
Yeah.
You need to be able to have that visibility and manage that, and that's one of the key things. So I always say to people, when I go into business, I'll see things that you can't see.
Yeah.
And I know a couple of businesses I've gone in straight away, just looked at the profit and loss and said, I can save you 10K here just on tax and done it.
Ooh, so, we love you.
That's amazing.
I've worked as an angel investor in the past, and I look at lots of startup businesses and investing in businesses, and because of the nature of what we do here, I talk to a lot of small businesses, and it never ceases to amaze me. I'm just dealing with it. I won't name them because that wouldn't be fair. I'm just dealing with a business that has gone bust. Yeah, owing me quite a considerable amount of money, and I'm trying to work my way through that and give them a way out. I just said to them, right, well, send me your management accounts. And they went, what?
Yeah. Well, there.
What do you mean? Well, your monthly management accounts. Nah, sorry. I mean, well, your outgoings. I could probably work it out on a piece of paper. And, really, the reason you've gone bust, mate, is because you've got no idea how your business is performing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must be honest, when I first started my first business 30 years ago, I'm not interested in bookkeeping and all that. Yeah. I was a management consultant, and it was much more fun flying around the world, you know, telling people how to do things and all the rest of it. And I didn't really worry about the bookkeeping stuff, but it soon came home. Bit home that you have to manage your business, and you have to pay attention, and you have to pay your taxes on time. And so many small businesses and medium-sized businesses really don't have much of a handle on their financial situation.
No, not at all. And exactly what you say, most people, you ask them about management information, and it's just like, you know, it's like the deer in the headlights. It's, you know, what the hell's that? Mm. And yet they should be on top of it. And I would say there's no excuse for financial illiteracy.
Yeah.
That you're a business owner. That's one thing you should be, is literate.
Do you think that there's a bit of a head-in-the-sand approach to it as well? Like, if I don't look, it won't hurt me.
And by nature of what we do, we tend to pick up messy businesses that need that help. And, you know, to me, that's great. It's not a problem. We can see things, or I can see things that they don't see.
Yeah.
You know, quite a lot of businesses, that's the end of the world. Most people owe money to HMRC these days because of COVID. They took those bounce back loans, C-bills, and they thought it was free money. It's not.
Yeah.
And now they're in the shit, basically. And it's a case of, you know, seeing a way out of that.
Yeah.
And you're right, the most people bury their head and say, I can't see anything out of this. But it's about being structured.
Yeah.
It's about saying, right, okay, I can do this if I follow this, you know, this pattern, if I look at what's in front of me.
It's interesting, I just for what it's worth. At the moment, I'm in acquisitive mode, and I'm looking to buy some businesses.
Yeah.
And I've looked at a couple of businesses, and they when they're upsell, they give you these headline figures, and as soon as you go and have a look at it, you go, oh, no, minute, that's not even remotely correct.
Yeah.
And they've gone, oh, well, yeah, I kind of guessed.
you
guessed at what your profit is. Right, okie doke, yeah, fine. It's interesting, isn't it, because... it's why Sam's going to be successful, because she comes from that background.
So
she's got no excuse. She's been she's been an accountant and a bookkeeper and a tax specialist. So there's no way out of it for her.
Yeah, not at all. I've got no excuse.
but so many people aren't, and it is also you know, I made reference to it earlier, how complicated a lot of things are, you know, because HMRC make things complicated, and you know, just simple stuff like VAT and simple, as if VAT was ever simple.
And they are thrashing the penalties at the moment,
more
so than they ever have. They obviously got to recoup what they lost during COVID.
Exactly. It is really difficult, because even HMRC can't always tell you we've had all the arguments about Jaffa cakes and biscuits and all that kind of nonsense, you know. I'm doing property at the moment, and you have to elect whether you charge VAT or not when you're renting property out, but if you've got a business that's already VAT registered, you know, then it gets really complicated, because they say you only do that if you want to claim it back, but I can claim it back anyway because I'm already VAT registered, so advise me. Well, do whichever one you want, really. It's all they tell you.
People are scared of VAT and things, but they don't look at the cash impact either. They see it as this bad thing. But actually, as you say, if you're doing it, maybe in construction or something, where you've got something that's, whatever build you might be doing, part of it is zero rated, but actually there's the element you can claim back. There is a real good balance to look at
there.
People don't. They just go, oh, VAT.
Yeah. But again, as you intimated earlier, Sally, the cash flow implications are the things, aren't they? Mm. Because people invoice out with VAT on it, spend the money, and then the VAT return comes in at the end of the quarter, and they go, oh, bugger, I haven't got any money to pay that.
Yeah.
Well, why did you spend it?
And that money is not yours.
Exactly. Let's now talk about the books that you've written. What inspired you to write the book?
It was Nick Inns from iTrust nagging me for about a year or so and saying, there's a book in you.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I've written it from the humorous side of me as well, because you have to laugh at some of the things I see and have to deal with.
Right.
After he sort of nagged me for a while and kept saying, you could do this, I actually went to a writing retreat about a year ago. Is it a year? No, not quite a year ago. and realised I could actually do it.
Right.
And mapped out the book, and that's how it began. But I didn't want it to be just boring and a boring business book. I mean, I still took on my daughter laughed because she said, "You actually think you're funny, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I do." In chapter 11, she said, all she could hear when I was writing chapter 11 was me laughing.
Right.
To herself.
Okay, I want to talk about this from a couple of points of view. Yeah. Obviously, we want to know about the content of the book and what it focuses on and what it's called, and we can say that on the radio.
Can we?
Yeah. But I'm also fascinated by the process.
Yeah.
I'm a fanatical reader.
Yeah.
I read literally hundreds of books a month. Right. And I read them on a Kindle. If you look at my Kindle, I've got something like 950 books this year.
Wow.
But whatever. And people say to me, "You ought to write a book." There is nothing further away that I would like to do than write a book. I have no interest whatsoever in writing anything. It's just not me. I am just not remotely interested. Yeah. So I want to find out, as a first-time author, how you found the process, how you went about it, and whether you'd do it again.
I'm not sure I'd do it again. That's the first answer. I think the marketing of it has been the hardest bit. The writing of it is the easy bit.
Right.
But the marketing of it. But it's actually, well, it's the No Bullshit Guide to Business Planning.
Right.
It says no BS on the cover because it has to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Amazon probably would have kicked it out. We had to decide whether it actually sat in the porn category.
Yeah. Mind you, you might have made a few sales. Yeah. And get a few complaints. Yeah, there's not a lot of sex in this book.
Yeah. But it's just a structured plan of showing you how easy business planning and cash flow management is.
Yeah.
So I'll talk you through all the steps to creating a business plan and a cash flow and how to maintain it.
Hmm.
And a little bit about some of the things you're told when you first start in business. No disrespect, but some disrespect to a lot of accountants. I know I call them the grey suits in the book because I think they spout a lot of jargon and a lot of shit that isn't necessarily that puts people off doing these things.
Yeah.
So I've literally stripped that back and said, right, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
The process... It was post-it notes. I've kept them all. And it literally, I had to develop 12 chapters, an intro and a summary.
But you strike me as an organised person and as a fairly structured person.
Yeah.
Did you sit down and have a structure of the book before you started? Or did you just start writing and then try and put it into a structure?
No, you're right. I had a structure.
Right.
I had mapped out every chapter what it was going to be about.
Right.
The only thing I didn't do was write in sequence.
Right.
Because you have to write how you feel that day.
Right.
So, like, for me, it might be that I said chapter 7 was a good one, and then I'd go back and write chapter 1.
Right.
Near to the end I did the intro because it's, you know, I wanted to get the book done first before I even spoke about me.
Right.
So it was quite structured.
And did you have a methodology? So were you writing an hour a day or one chapter a week or how did you go about the process?
I committed to 12 weekends of my life of writing 12 chapters.
Right, okay.
So I started
a chapter
in January.
A weekend.
Yeah, I had to have that finished by the 31st of March this year for it to be published on the 1st of June.
Right, okay.
And we hit it by hook or by crook, I was doing it.
Okay.
So I had no life for 3 months.
So you've written a book, obviously, now. Mm-hmm. Are you pleased with it?
Yeah, I still laugh at it a bit, I must admit.
Right.
But I'm quite proud of it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and I've been asked to do the Audible version. But I think, how the hell is anybody going to understand me reading?
Oh, no.
I
love your accent.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
Yeah, no, but see, that's authenticity, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I've got a cheapskate Yorkshire woman doing me accounting, haven't I?
That would be good. I'd love that. Yeah.
Well, friends that have read it said they can literally hear me, reading it.
Yeah,
me speaking.
Yeah. Lovely. So, are you going to do the Audible book?
I'd like to, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Do you go in a studio or how do you go about it?
I don't know yet. I've got to find that all out.
I think your accent is lovely and I think...
It's gentle, isn't it?
Definitely, yeah. It's not difficult. I went to Scotland and we had a Glaswegian taxi driver and it was in the days of COVID where he had a mask on as well. And my new husband and I couldn't understand a word he said. It was such broad Glaswegian. And because he was wearing a mask, we couldn't see his expression either. Yeah. So we didn't know whether to laugh or cry when he said it.
You're fairly much safe with doing both with a glass of champagne. So I asked you once, I'm going to ask you again, would you write another one?
Yes, probably. Mm-hmm. I'm being bugged about it already, saying there must be, you know, where's version two?
Right.
Yeah, I think version two would probably be about some of the experiences we talked about.
Right, okay, yeah.
I think the burnout is just so interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many, for young people, that's really important because a lot of, you know, city high flyers, for example, are just working all the time, you know, constantly on call.
Well, when I went through the process and the diagnosis and things, they identified that I was ADHD as well.
Right.
Which would explain
know.
Part of it, yeah, because I've always got a busy mind.
Mm. Yeah.
So
how are you dealing with that now, apart from your apart from your bank holidays?
A marine college. Yeah.
Do you zen out? Do you do yoga or any?
No, I go to the gym a lot.
Okay, so you work out and that helps you. Do you walk?
We've got two Jack Russells that we run
around. You have not a Whippet in sight.
No, not a Whippet in sight, just Jack Russells.
They like football, don't they, Jack Russells?
I don't know.
The Jack Russells I've known have always liked balls and football. And
no, I was a bit daft for that.
Maybe Yorkshire ones.
So, Sally, with your business, I didn't ask you this, I don't think, up front. When did you actually launch your business?
16th of June 2020.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so we were 3 years old this week.
See, 2020, everybody launches a business in the middle of a pandemic. You really do,
yeah.
I've been in business for myself 30 years now, and I've been through so many traumas, from the original dot-com crash, the financial crash, the COVID. Yeah. And one of the strange things is there tends to be quite a lot of business startups around those events.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're events that make people reevaluate their life. And also, when people start businesses in those times, they tend to be more successful.
Mm.
And the reason is, I guess, is because you're starting from such a low base in terms of, you know, everything's falling around. Mm. There's no clients, there's no money, there's nothing. You've got nothing to lose. Yeah, so you start and you grow from a very strong position. Because
For us as well, because exactly what I was doing is what people needed. They needed visibility of cash flow. They needed cash flow management.
Yeah.
So, you know, for us it was probably the best time to start.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you some technical questions. I'm getting a bit of consultancy for free here now, so this is what I'm really doing. Yeah. But it's one of the benefits of doing this show. In business, we don't talk about this as much as they used to many years ago. Businesses used to have overdrafts with the bank and used to borrow money from banks. Yeah. None of that happens anymore, really. So how do you go about helping someone that has cash flow issues ensure that they can keep going with money? You know, borrowing money is not a good idea.
No.
Yeah. But sometimes you can't avoid it. So is there any sources of... And also, when you're growing a business, sometimes you need additional finance to grow a business. Mm. And banks just won't lend anybody anything unless you don't need the money.
It's like a lot of the grants have gone now as well.
Yeah,
I'm on the Small Business Advisory Board for Kent Chamber, and the grants are pretty much ground off.
Absolutely.
I think the thing is if you're honest and upfront with most of your suppliers, they will understand. They've been there. So if you've got money coming in and you can generate... Well, the biggest one I see is people, as soon as they get short of money, they drop the sales, they drop the marketing, they drop the networking. Stupid, stupid people to do that. You have to continue to market your business to get the sales in.
Yeah.
So make that a priority. Make your marketing and your sales a priority.
Yeah.
Talk to your suppliers. Be upfront. Be honest. Make agreements. HMRC these days are not the big bad wolf anymore.
You're 100%, 1,000% correct. Mm. And this still drives me potty. I was talking to some guys the other day. They were in trouble. I could tell they were in trouble a few months ago. And I said, come and talk to me. Let's see if we can help. But you've got to be honest with me. No, there's no problem. There was a problem.
Yeah.
The next thing is, I said, who do you owe money to? VAT. Right. Right now, go and ring HMRC, tell them you've got a problem, and offer to do a payment schedule.
Yeah.
All right. See them a week later. did you do that? No.
No.
Yeah. You know, they tell you as well at the moment, HMRC, oh, we can only go to a year. Hmm. I have had a client, and she earned thousands, and she was quite obviously uptight and upset about it. We talked to them together. She got a plan over 3 years.
Yeah.
And that is it. Her business is back on top. She's absolutely winning and paying more for it.
Yeah.
Because she got the breathing space to actually focus back on the business because she was so worried.
Yeah. Many years ago, I was an investor in a business that got into trouble, and we had a CVA, mm-hmm. yeah, a voluntary yeah. liquidation yeah. agreement. We had to persuade the Inland Revenue and our major creditors to take a penny in the pound, but we agreed as a business that if they let us trade our way out of it, we would eventually pay all the bills. They allowed us to do that. We actually settled all of the money we owed within 3 years, and we eventually sold the business for £8 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. 5 years after the CVA. So it just shows you, if you talk to people, yeah, you can work out a plan. It's when you hide your head, you know, bury your head in the sand and don't do anything. Sally, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Thank you very much.
We wish you much success. Hold the book up. We're going to do some photographs of this later. The No Bullshit Guide to Business Planning by Sally Brady. It's available as a hardback and as a digital edition. You can get it on Amazon. There will be an audible version in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be some translations into proper English a longer term. So foreign ones are available. But do go and buy the book. Sally, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a shout out for how people can find out more about Sally Brady business planning.
A bit like you, Sam, all over social media. So Instagram, Sally Brady Limited, Twitter, Sally Brady Limited, the website is sallybrady.co.uk, LinkedIn, Sally Brady. Georgia Brady is also around, my daughter. We work together, so you can find her on all these platforms as well.
Fantastic. Thank
Hello,
you so much
Georgia.
For that, Sally.
She'd have to come on next time.
Yeah, she's actually watching and listening.
Yeah. I have actually met her daughter, so
get her on next time.
And very nice she is too. Both of you, your websites are on the Kent Business Radio website, and the links are on there, and they will stay on there forever.
Thank you.
I'll also do, Sally, is I'll add a link to the Amazon page for your book onto the radio website as well. So thank you for that. Do stay with us for the remaining 10 minutes of the show, 10 or 15 minutes.
I was going to say, is it in any independent bookshops?
No, it's just on Amazon.
So you could try and put it in some independent bookshop, would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Because Amazon was supporting China, so get it in your
Right.
You must have those. Where do you live?
Just outside Rochester.
Yeah, well, there must be an independent bookshop around there, Rochester, I would have thought.
Yeah.
We've got one in Whitstable, Harbour Street Books, which is at the railway station now, I think, as well. That would be good. We've got classic cars at Kenwood. Campers, bikes and scooters are welcome. It's the first Sunday of each month, 10 a.m. till 12 midday. It's £5 a vehicle, pre-book, includes tea and coffee. By calling, there's a little phone number here which I'll read. I think landlines are going, aren't they, in 2025?
Yeah, mine went ages ago. Mine went
Taken it.
Yeah, well, the landline's still there. You just don't use it. You plug your phone into your router. And I had a massive problem. I'm a carer for my mum. She's 94. She's got dementia. And I'm the carer for my mum. This morning, typically, it's always on a Tuesday, which is the only day I can't go over there. I go over every day apart from Tuesday because I do the radio show. This morning, her alarm went off. You know,
burglar.
SOS alarm.
Yeah.
We can't get hold of your mum. So I've got a CCTV camera that's gone off. I ring her mobile. She's always turning her bloody mobile off. And then I ring a landline. That's off. Yeah, nothing. So I thought, I wonder if I'll check. There was a power cut. Yeah. Mm. There's no telephones working. I thought, I'll phone Yvonne just to go check. Try to ring Yvonne. The phone's not working. Yeah, because everybody's been moved on to internet phones. The router's down, so none of the phones work.
This is terrible.
It's ridiculous.
It is really worrying. When, funny enough, my mother fell, who's 93 in October, watering her garden, and she has balance problems, and she fell while she was watering her garden on a Tuesday as well. And
it's always a Tuesday.
And I said, why didn't you phone your new husband? Oh, I know he worked, you know, and you're at radio. And so she walked to the pharmacy with a bleeding leg. Then they didn't call her a taxi because she's too blimmin' independent, would have said no. And then she got the bus to the emergency centre, and she's now got it all bandaged up and everything. But, you know, they're very stoic, that generation.
Yeah,
but they need help, you know.
Mm.
Anyway, so the classic cars, I don't know how we got onto that from classic cars. Oh, yeah, there's a landline, that's right. So the landline, if it works, is 01622 814 187. Now, the main reason I would go is there's bacon rolls there.
Yeah, well, the classic car thing is the first Sunday of every month.
Yeah,
you just rock up with any classic car, sports car, interesting car, scooter, motorbike, lorry, truck, whatever.
I've got one.
Well, get one then.
I like the Volvo little, you know, Roger Moore thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The same.
P1600 or whatever it was.
When I was a
P1600. Trace Ferguson says, thank you, Jules. You're talking about her etchings.
I've just
started experimenting with these mixed media prints, and I love creating them. These are ones I gifted to my oldest son and his girlfriend yesterday, and she's put some pictures, and they're absolutely fabulous.
Oh, we'll have a look at those.
I Trust Assurance are saying, loving the show today. But don't blame me that Sally's on.
I'm rude.
Yeah. Okay, Nick, you're all right, fine.
And Tracy has also got her eyes on our biscuits in the studio.
And she says, love Sally's humour. Her book sounds brilliant. I love post-it notes too. And, well, that's great going. A chapter a weekend, that in itself is a feat. I love the Audible version. Lots of laughs, I bet. What a great interview with Sally.
I'm listening to an Audible book about my dog has got anxiety about being left, and I'm on chapter 3, and the author is read by the author, but she's a bit annoying, and she's, you know, I still don't know how to cure this dog. She's still rambling on about things, and I think, just tell me what to do.
And Tracy has said, yes, there is an independent bookshop, number 64 in Rochester High Street. I'm sure they still do a range of local books.
They are. Yeah. Top down, with about six. Top down, take six. Yeah. I did this with my new husband's books. And just ask them to put me in the window. Yeah. And then if they want more, you can supply more from Amazon. I don't care how you get them, but get rid of your independent bookshop.
Right. There's a Medway business meetup.
Is there?
This will suit both of you, ladies.
Yeah.
It's a new event, and it's open to all businesses in Medway, whether you're a sole trader, freelancer, one-person operation, or run multiple international businesses. It's taking place at Dragon Co-working, which is 7 to 8 New Road in Rochester, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. on the 22nd of June. So you can go to Dragon Co-working to find that out, or kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Canada, find out all about it and to book your tickets should you want to go along, and I'm sure you will. And Dragon Co-working is really nice.
Yeah, it's where my office is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't got far to go then, Sally, have you? Roland's done a fantastic job with Dragon Co-working. It's a really lovely community environment.
And if you're wild about Maidstone, there's an arts carnival coming to town. It's working with the Emergency Exit Arts to bring a bright and colourful walking arts carnival, which is called Wild About Maidstone. It's coming on Saturday the 15th of July from 2 p.m. They say everyone is welcome to see the amazing spectacle, which have more than 350 people taking part, including dancers, performers, local primary and secondary school pupils, and participants from community groups. Carnival is being funded by the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, and it will also include two samba bands, Old School Samba and the South London Samba, who will take part in the procession and the finale event. So it starts from Archbishop's Place at 2 p.m. It's going to walk through the town into Brenchley Gardens, where there'll be a finale event with music from 2:45 until 5:30. So there are also some free public workshops taking place, and they're on different dates. So you've got on 24th of June, you've got one, they say, come along, create a carnival headdress and be part of the procession. So 24th of June, Fremlin Walk. 1st of July, Lock Meadow. Lock?
Mm-hmm.
Associate.
Yeah, yeah, I got it.
Yeah. It's an in-joke, Scottish. 8th of July, the Mall, or Mall. 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 Or the 15th of July, you've got the Royal Star Arcade.
So arcade.
It's all happening. Arcade.
Yeah. Arcade.
So what do you call it?
No, I'm just joining in with you. Mall, Arcade.
Arcade, yeah. Arcade is easier to read than Mall. or Mall. I think Mall or Mall is American anyway, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Arcade is English, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Right. Choose a career that makes a real difference. This is from Diagrama, and they're an agency that specialises in fostering and adoption. We urgently need foster carers in Maidstone. Are you over 21, have a spare bedroom at your home, looking for a really rewarding career? If so, you could become a foster carer with us. Foster with us and you'll receive a minimum of £415 per week per child. All training will be provided and you will be given 24/7 support. You can learn more about fostering and join us for an informal drop-in session for an opportunity to chat to our team, who will be happy to answer any questions you have. Now, this drop-in that you can go to is taking place this Thursday, the 22nd of June, between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. and it's at the Maidstone Community Support Centre, which is in Marsham Street, Maidstone. Or you can find out more or get a brochure by dropping an email to fostering@diagrama.org. I'll spell that for you in a minute. Or you can go to their website, which is www.diagramafostering.org.uk. And Diagrama is D-I-A-G-R-A-M-A, Diagrama, Fostering and Adoption. Check it out.
And the Marsh Networking, the Breakfast Networking, which is at Base Point in Folkestone, if folks and council
yeah,
are listening.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
water butts are involved, and no water butts have been harmed at this Marsh Network, but it's at the Shearway Business Park. No shears are involved. It's at 7:45 in the morning till 9, and that's on the 18th of July. And then there's another one in East Sussex, which is at the Pet Village Hall, P-E-T-T, 10:30 a.m. on the 1st of August. You can go to marshnetwork.co.uk to find out details.
Fantastic, thank you. A study, this is stunning, a study has revealed more than 70% of organisations are promoting in-person work models. But according to a report by Lorien, 61% of employees aged 35 to 44 don't want to go. They want to work remotely. This clash of culture is set to continue as the market changes. Will we find common ground? 72% of companies globally have mandated a return to the workplace, yet 42% report higher attrition since implementing those policies. So people have left, basically, because they don't want to go back to working in an office. Interesting.
Well, I quite like working from home, but I do like to get out as well. You have to have a little bit of a mix, I think.
The thing is,
flexi.
A lot of people don't actually want to work from home because it isn't very conducive. Yeah, it's lonely. They've not got enough space. Your broadband's not very good. But what they don't want to do is commute.
Yeah, it's the commuting. Well, it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
Which is where co-working spaces
exactly.
come in. Because we're really cheap and
do
nice and
any?
Lovely.
Yeah.
And you don't have to commute all the way to London.
Yeah.
For a fraction of the price of your train fare, you can come and co-work.
Can you take your dog in?
We used to allow dogs until somebody brought a dog in that stole everybody's lunch, and then
it wasn't the owner.
No, it wasn't. It was the dog, and it all got very nasty. So we just had to ban pets of all kinds.
Oh, little thing. Well, I think it depends on the dog, don't you? Like,
yeah, but you can't.
That would be discrimination if you say only Jack Russells and no greyhounds.
Yeah, exactly. You can't do that. Yeah.
You know what? I quite like working from home because as a woman, I down.
Are you a lady? She's a lady.
Put a little wash on, then run back up to my office, then come down, hang it out, then come back up. You know, as a woman, that's what you do, isn't it? Because it never ends. Do you find that women's work is always inside and men are always out in the garden when it's sunny? And I'm in the kitchen always chopping, chop. Drives me nuts.
Mm. Being serious for a minute, though, this is one of the problems with home working, isn't it? Is you've got this constant, you know, answering the door to Amazon and, you know, just you know, putting the washing on and then just doing the hoovering while, you've got this crossover. And so I'm not sure how productive it is actually working from home.
I'm very productive. I think that you are biased.
No. I work from home. I
love working from home.
I have 7 offices in Kent and I work from home. Mostly.
Put a wash on.
No.
During the day?
No.
See, my new husband of 29 years does not know how to work the washing machine.
Oh, I can work the washing machine. I'm just working. I'm not doing the washing.
But then...
I do put the dishwasher on.
It's actually time-saving, because at that time when you're commuting, my new husband used to get up at 4:35 in the morning to get into the city. So, you know, I think that's burnout, actually.
Yeah, I made it a rule afterwards that I wouldn't get up before 6 o'clock in the morning.
He was never home for the kids. You know, I used to bath and put them to bed, read their story, and, you know, they were practically asleep by the time he got in. So I wish home working had been available a bit more, and so does he, you know. But flexi is good.
You know, you need co-working, that's what you need.
You do. Especially in Tenterton,
TNS, or Canterbury. Yeah. Well, but there's co, you know, suddenly you're in a co-working space, well, kind of, you know, Dragon co-working.
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
You need washing machines. You need a washing machine.
Well, yeah, you can take your laundry in. That's what you need.
Laundrette,
where
they actually do it for you,
would
be much better.
Yeah. Well, Stripe, for Che, my son, they give him, he has a pass to go into a co-working. I've forgot the name of it, but in London, so he can go to any, wherever he is, even in Dubai.
WeWork or whatever.
It's WeWork. Very clever, aren't you? How do you know?
Have you got anything else to read?
Well, there's a Town's Only Music Shop opening. It's vinyl store. As you know, vinyl is getting very hip now. And it's called Elephant Music, and it's in Gravesend, hoping to make it more accessible for people to get into music by diversifying their stock to create a mini Camden lock. And the co-owner is Rob Sherwood, and he says, we really wanted to do something a little bit different and bring a different crowd in, and vinyl is king at the moment.
Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
You've read all your emails.
That is a wrap, Paul Andrews.
Is it? Well, it's lucky. We're at the end of the show then, really, isn't it?
Very.
I want to say a huge thank you to everybody involved this week, especially to our two fantastic guests, Samantha Gummer of Set Resourcing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much for having me. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
Have you?
Absolutely
loved
it. Good. I was so nervous, but I loved it.
Oh, were you nervous?
You didn't seem nervous.
Yeah. No, that was you were very calm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So fantastic, Sally Brady of Sally Brady Business Planning, and author. hold the book up again, and the author of The No Bullshit Guide to Business Planning, available on Amazon and local bookshops in Rochester.
I love it.
Sally, thank you so much for being
on
the show. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jules Sirkin, who still drives me nuts, but there you go.
It's my rule of life to drive Paul Andrews nuts.
Yeah. to everybody that tweeted, emailed and joined in, thank you so much. Have a safe, enjoyable and fun week, everybody. We'll be back next Tuesday with another show. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. The Business Bunker.